What do we do? How do I hear him? Hey.
Hello?
Yeah? Anybody out there?
You're on the air live.
You're on the air live. I don't know who is.
Oh.
Am I supposed to be hearing
You're
something?
You're on the air live right now.
I'm on the air live? Right now?
Yeah.
All right. And is Wynn on the air?
I
think so. Wynn, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you doing? I can barely hear you, though.
How's that?
I don't know. How are the levels, Chris? Yeah. You're on the air live.
This is another stumbling through the door of the Don and Wynn show.
That's right.
On the air.
On the air live.
On the air live. Checking levels, saying, are you on? Welcome, everybody, to the Don and Wynn show.
Once again. I guess we sound okay.
Who's your engineer?
Chris Moores.
Chris Moores?
Yes.
Where's Doug?
Doug, he's, well, I think he's back in L.A. now.
He is?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is Chris listening to us?
Of course.
Hi, Chris.
But he can't hear you right now. He's in the other room.
All right. So what are we talking
playing
about?
Playing with the Altari.
What are we talking about tonight? What's your biggest issue of the week?
Issues? I guess removing them.
Removing your issues?
Yeah.
Well, what was it before you started moving them?
What was what?
The issues.
What were the issues?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, there's tons of them.
Aren't I terrible, Don?
You're trying to get me to open up?
Yeah.
On the air?
Yeah, I mean, you're just being guarded.
I'm as open as can be. I just don't have any issues left.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I'd play ball with you.
Okay. Well, your mother is listening.
Well, I hope so, and...
She had a question about our show last week.
She did?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
She was talking about... Remember we were talking about those rooms and...
Yeah.
Like,
she wanted to know what it was like, and I thought her description was...
Each of us is like in a room, which is our reality system.
Yeah.
And it's like one-way mirrors, because people with bigger reality systems can look in through the mirrors and see us, but we can't look out and see them. They look, in most cases, I'm not, you know, sometimes people can see somebody in a bigger reality system, and then when they know that, they can start expanding the reality system. But most of the time, they're looking from the reality system where they will convert someone that's in a bigger reality system into their reality system. So it looks like they're in the same reality system to them. Follow?
Well, sure.
So, but yeah. Your mother didn't understand that. Like, she was wondering what those rooms were. And so...
Well, then she went on to give a description.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fairly good one.
I should go look at my email here. Because you sent it to me, right?
Well, she sent it to you.
She did?
Or I did, yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So, the goal of this show is to get us all to expand our rooms during the course of the next hour. There we go.
Room expanding course.
A room expanding course.
Or expander.
Expander. Well.
Or the room expander course.
You know, one way to...
Sounds an awful lot like...
Huh?
room expandex or something, you know?
Room expandex.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try something else.
Now, one thing that worked for me to expand my room is to start to get the perspective that the way it works is this is just one lifetime in a blip of many lifetimes, and that, you know, what seems so consequential while you're in a body is when you're out of a body is not so consequential. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, of course you do.
Yeah. But how do you believe that, you know? How do you believe that?
Why do you have to believe it?
Well, you do have to believe it, because otherwise you're not internalizing it, okay? Otherwise, it's just like an idea. I mean, you have to come to some realization that that's so. Not because I say it, not because, you know, I mean, to believe it because anyone says it. Somehow, there has to be an internal realization that that's so. It doesn't have to be, but if you want to expand your box, and that's true, what I'm saying is true, then someone has to move into that. That's a pretty big expansion, because now you're talking about reality systems that go far beyond just this physical universe and into this huge perspective where you are just, your soul continues, and your body doesn't. And so what is the significance of that? How do you internalize that? How does that become real? Is that true or not? Is it true? You think it's true?
Wow. You know, during our journey together, Wynn,
yeah?
You and I have, one came from feeling and the other came from the mental. And now I look at the other end of our journey, which is in the now, and I see that's reversed.
What? I'm coming from...
You're getting way too mental, buddy. Sorry.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Well, you know what I really believe, to be honest with you? If you want to go there, if you want to... You know, there's so many wonderful things, ways to know you're right. And
who's right?
Well, there's a knowing that takes place after a while.
Yeah.
And getting from here to there is asking for that guidance and opening up enough doors so that, you know, you finally see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you've been studying this stuff.
Forever.
Forever, right?
I have by now, yeah. Well, no. I'm young, and I haven't studied it forever. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that to me, it seems like a long time. But in reality, it's a pittance.
Oh, well. Forever a pittance. Like, when one looks at how they moved from one place to another, then they can share that with other people, because, you know, just where you have gone in your own journey, someone else would be looking in their journey, and where you would end their beginning.
You're constantly creating a blueprint.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Who?
For the next person to create their own.
Something like that, right?
Isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah.
Kind of neat, huh?
So,
and that's why you have these great blueprints that come along every so often, like Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
like Buddha, you know, like many of the greatest teachers, you know, even Gandhi, and many of the ones you don't even hear about that end up being, you know, in some way of that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
An energy, yeah. About that, you know, they're creating a blueprint that they can, you know, with their energy that really sets a framework, a guide, it anchors an intent of high creation.
A high-level room.
It's a, you're correct.
You know.
And it's overseen by high-level maintenance people.
Yeah.
And this, you know, takes various forms and levels, yeah. Absolutely. It's remarkable when you go into it, but...
But, you know, when I was in college, for example, and somebody started talking like you and I are talking now...
We'd be committed.
I would have said, those guys are crazy.
Yeah.
How do I know that's true? I mean,
sure.
You see, that's the thing.
Well, there's a big difference nowadays because look at all the phenomena that's going on, too. It's not just, you know, these catalysts that are continuously working on humanity, but... I mean, think about the kind of energies we're working with. And we are at the closing of the cycles.
Mm.
The closing.
But how do you know that?
Well, I don't. Do I know this to be true? Well, from my perspective, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
See,
I don't know what that means for anything else but me.
When it comes to the mind, though, the mind needs data to say,
yeah.
You know, the mind is one of the things that keeps these rooms in their positioning.
That's right.
And so the only tools we have are our ability to verbalize and see if we can't get
stop using the mind.
Well, you know, you need to use the mind.
Well, but not always. Not always.
Because
even implying so,
yeah.
I think, is remiss.
Because
often enough, we're always implying that the mind is the thing that we need to constantly engage. I don't believe that.
But if we're talking,
yeah,
then we're using words, which means we're using the mind. And we have people listening to us.
Sure.
With their minds.
Agreed.
So, you know,
let's hope.
It doesn't mean that you are your mind. It's just the way that on this level. Now, it's interesting. I read something somewhere. I can't remember where. In other dimensions, this level of communication is like archaic because it's all psychic. And... on this level, here, on the physical, here we are converting our thoughts into words. And on other levels, that doesn't happen. People just know immediately what's happening and what somebody else wants and what another being wants. Here, we have to hope that when we say that word, that the other person attaches the same meaning that we do.
Well,
the word.
I know. You end up with a double filter.
Are you familiar with Noam Chomsky?
No.
Never heard of him?
No.
He's quite famous.
Right.
And right now, I think he's a little bit political in terms of addressing some of the, what you would call the negative politics. But years ago, he wrote some things on linguistics that were very, very famous. And very scholarly, where he was addressing words and how they link to energies. And I think that's what we're talking about. You know, we start talking to somebody and we're stumbling around, and what we really want to do is link energies with a person. But our first tool is our words. Our verbalness, and we hope that we will talk and someone will really understand us and feel us, because within the words is our signature, the signature of our being. And either somebody resonates with that frequency of that signature, or the words just go to their mind, and the mind is just listening and trying to understand on a mental level. So I think this is what I mean. It's like we have the signature of our energy manifesting through our mind through our words going to another person's ears, to their mind, and hopefully, possibly, they will get the signature of who we are through that. Not through necessarily the words themselves, but through the signature of energy that's attached to the words. Just as when we have interdimensional beings communicate to us, and they have extremely big matrices compared to, say, our matrix, or huge rooms compared to our rooms, in listening to their words, we have the potential of getting the signature of their frequencies. And then we start expanding into the frequency and into the room that they're creating from. And that's an awesome thing, because now you have expanded your room. If you can get their frequency, if you can get their signature frequency, because it's there in the words. It's tricky because the words have to come through somebody. It has to get compressed, contracted through the person that's doing the channeling, for example. And then it comes out into the world, and most people will hear the words and compress it into their reality system, but then occasionally somebody hears the words, and that person was in the place where their reality system was about to totally transform. They needed it. They were sick of it. It wasn't working for them, and they were recycling stuff over and over again, and then they hear the words from that reality system, from that room that's bigger than theirs, and they then get the frequency and expand. Does that make sense?
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. You know, recently I got a review on my book, which I'll send to you, which you can post, which I would say describes exactly the experience I'm talking about, because this person has given me the best review I've ever gotten. And the reason that they did it is because they weren't reading the book with their mind. They got the book. They got what the book was saying at a really deep level, and they moved into the space of what I call that group soul that was speaking through David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce and Carla Rucker, the Rab Rope, and they got it. And the person, I mean, they're a very articulate and very intelligent person, so they were able to convert their experience into words and put it into a review. It's a lady that has been a radio show host and does counseling for people and has done many book reviews. People like Marianne Williamson, her reviews have been syndicated. And of course, I've watched many reviewers, even when they were moved by the book, have so much trouble. How do you say that kind of movement, right? I mean, it's very interesting because everyone reveals themselves in everything they do. Like, for example, since I'm talking about reviews, by the way, this is the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Here's something that I thought was a good review. And then I'm going to show you the difference between somebody that was able, well, that was still in their mind, and someone that went outside of their mind and went into their energy signature in the review. You ready? Are you with me, Don?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a Midwest book review. The reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is an insightful and engaging biographical study of the remarkable parallels between the young David Wilcock and the legendary Edgar Cayce. Following the teachings of Wilcock's dream voice and his intuitive sense, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce addresses for its readers the profound issues of soul evolution, death, and contribute thoughtful and thought-provoking answers to a discussion of Jesus Christ. The reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is very strongly recommended reading for all students of metaphysics in general and the accomplishments of Edgar Cayce in particular. Now that sounds like a good review, right?
I think it's a wonderful review.
Now listen to this. You ready? I want to show you the difference. That person, and I really appreciate that review, by the way, the person had some experience when they read the book, and they were trying to convert that experience to whoever would read the review so it makes sense to them, okay? Now, listen to this one. This is a review by Dr. Mariel McKinley. Are you ready? During my lifetime, having read numerous books on Edgar Cayce, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is by far the number one premier book that's been written about Cayce, whether it's about the reincarnation or the original. As far as the scrutiny of this PhD reviewer, the case put together by author Winfrey tying Wilcock to Cayce is bulletproof. The reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is not only the best book in the Cayce genre, of course, I like this because she's so expletive, okay, but I would put it in the running as the most important book to be written thus far in the 21st century, period. They don't have to agree with that, but this person had an epiphany experience in reading the book. This groundbreaking work will not only be a classic of classics, it has within it the keys to individual transformation as well as global transformation over the next several years, as it has already transformed my life. As a syndicated book reviewer, it can be inferred that I am not a novice to New Thought metaphysical books, authors, and thinking, having written numerous reviews on many of the most recognized and influential books on the marketplace. I am absolutely stunned to have discovered a book with a view of reality so huge that it could only have originated from the same source that spoke through Cayce. A book that credibly provides the missing pieces to the puzzle of what's really happening on Earth in our current period. Not only has this book clearly answered questions such as why we are here and what we are to do while we are here, it has also quenched and fulfilled an age-old thirst, an unfathomable hunger that has been with me since I can first remember asking my mother at 4 years of age, if God made us, who made God? Upon completion of my read, I am as close as I have ever been to the answers of these questions that man has been ruminating over for thousands of years, since the beginning of recorded history, and it is all here in this book and more. This reviewer foresees that this profoundly important work is just the beginning of many more pieces of work to come from Winfrey. That's me, ta-da. Considering the purity of the wisdom contained herein, the reader can expect to experience a blowing of the mind simultaneously with a soothing of the soul. A must for every library. Yes, your search for truth can finally rest, as the perspectives contained in this book far outweighs anything on the market today, and most likely anything you've come across your entire life in the past and for years to come, as that voice of wisdom who spoke through Cayce comes forth in present time and explains the big picture of soul evolution beyond theology, beyond religion, beyond philosophy, and gives the most credible understanding of the Mayan calendar 2012, which Jesus spent by new heaven, new earth, and why we're in the most critical period in the history of humankind. Definitely New York Times best-selling material. I would urge and encourage other media and press members like myself to get the word about this book, including filmmakers, as the film adaptation and the messages contained within have the power to heal the world and bring a newfound peace to this suffering planet. I guarantee your life will never be the same and will immediately change for the better upon absorbing the messages contained within. At the very least, you will have a spellbinding and highly entertaining book that will forever change the way you view your life and may well be the catalyst for a new experience of an intense spiritual connection that is beyond your wildest dreams. 10 stars for author Winfrey on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, as this book has removed this reviewer's fear of death and has opened her heart to the most profound source of love and light she has ever experienced. May it do this and more for all who open its pages. That's the end. So, you notice the difference between the two?
I did.
I mean, that person, you could feel her soul in the review. It was not in her mind, even though it was a very well-written review.
It was a remarkable review.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's how I felt when I was writing the book, and I said, are people going to understand this? I mean, can people see that this book has that in it, you know? And, you know, the book is written in a way that it starts out, and it does have to convince the mind that this is real, that David is Casey, because the other stuff becomes less credible without that. You wonder, well, who's talking? How does everything work? And, you know, they're very smart, these guys on the other side. They know what it takes to convince something here on this planet, because humans are so stubborn. And that's why they use prophecy to get our attention. Because otherwise, you know, you can't just say it because no one will believe it. Even when there's prophecy and it's right in your face, you still miss it. Say, for example, you know, Jesus and the Jews. I mean, there he was fulfilling the prophecy. But, of course, this was all, manipulated by these soul groups to get people's attention. And now, if I have all my stuff correct, and I mean, in researching this, I'm pretty sure I do, this same soul group that was very much connected to Jesus, that was connected to Casey, is using the Wilcock incident to get the current message out so that people that are skeptics, if they'll just study it, if they'll just look at it, because you should be a skeptic. You shouldn't believe anything because until you internalize it. But the book, if you really go into it, it will convince a skeptic. It should, unless you're just so close that some people, they can look at something and totally not see it because they're coming at it with such a prejudiced point of view. But if you just come to the book with a neutral point of view, it will convince you. Or at least it will create a huge case that you're going to have to contemplate for some time. You know, there's some things that I didn't put in the book. You read the book, right, Don?
Right.
Did it affect you?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Sure.
You know the case that's intertwined in the book, which is, it's not really said outright, because I couldn't say it outright because it's too controversial, and it would automatically create prejudice. But since we have, you know, just a few people listening to us tonight, I could say it here, right? Can I say it?
Sure.
You know, and
feel it.
Basically, you know, we have a circumstance where sorry about my phone. Do you hear that static coming in and out?
Yes.
You got to sit still. We have a circumstance where that group soul, who was very much connected with Jesus, who very well...
They're here again.
Huh?
They're already here.
They're here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've been here all the time. It's not that they ever left, but they predicted in the Edgar Casey readings that Edgar Casey would return in this period. They guided David Wilcock to fulfill that prophecy and to return to Virginia Beach in this period. I'm not going to tell the story of the book, but, you know, they are intelligently manipulating things to get our attention, to take a look, because they're presenting a premise which is so far out that it rivals, you know, the most far out science fiction story. Sounds like science fiction. I mean, if you heard the story, you take it as science fiction, because I would have. I said, this can't be real, and yet they're making a case that this is real. And if it is real, it is that important, right? Now, you know who Edgar Cayce believed was speaking through him? Don?
Do I know who he believed?
You know who Edgar Cayce thought?
Yeah.
Who was speaking through him?
Most cases?
Yeah.
I believe he believed he was speaking to, he was reading some books. Books. Like the keeper, the books, records. He was reading some form of records. He always had to walk into this
record?
Area where, yeah.
Carla Rucker?
Oh, Carla.
No.
Who are you talking about?
Edgar Cayce.
That's who I'm talking about.
Edgar Cayce.
He always, when he went to sleep, he when he describes it, he remembers reading it from a book often.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would call his principal source his source. He had others coming through him. Also, he had Archangel Michael come through. He had
right. Negative
beings come through, we believe. But his main source was called the Source.
Right.
He believed it was the Christ. And, of course, he was brought up as a fundamentalist Christian. And so that helped him to accept the positiveness of his own readings. Now, I started researching Edgar Cayce's readings. And here's a couple of Edgar Cayce readings. That were done, I don't know, in 1945 and before, in that 40 years that he did readings. Here's two excerpts. Count it joy, then, even as he, and he is capitalized, that ye are called by him in service, in loving service to thy fellow man. For through this lowly, weak, unworthy channel, Edgar Cayce, has he chosen to speak. For the purposes of this soul are to do good for his brethren. Okay? He, capitalized. Then in another reading, here today, in what you call time...
I don't get caught up in that anymore too much, I'm afraid.
Well, no, I'm making a point, though.
Right.
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just saying, I'm looking at a case here. Here today, in what you call time, ye find them. Discarnate entities that have preached concerning the second coming, gathering to listen to that as may be given them by one Edgar Cayce, who is to be the forerunner of that influence in the earth known as the Christ consciousness. The coming of that force or power into the earth that has been spoken of through the ages.
Yeah, I realize what you're saying.
He may be born into consciousness, not as a physical birth, but each moment that a physical birth is experienced is an opportunity for the Christ entrance again.
Right.
Well, what is the Christ entrance? I mean, we're not talking about Jesus in a body. We're talking about one.
Energy.
We're talking about the law of one. We're talking about an energy that blows through our planet, that's there, that can be tapped into. And that energy is very well much connected to this group soul. This group soul is not out there like in some, how can you say it, in the past I would have looked at this, my own perspective would have been that if you're on the other side, you're on some mountaintop and it's like they're looking down on us. No, I experienced that they're right in the space. They're right in your space. They're in my space. They're in everyone's space who's listening as an energy that's present that can be felt, can be integrated, and can give you yourself messages from them. And but, of course, the reason that they spoke to Edgar Cayce in the way that I just read that is because that was their way of helping Edgar Cayce accept this in his own paradigm of his fundamental Christianity. Mm. So, do you follow?
I follow.
Hmm?
Sure.
So, of course, now David Wilcock doesn't have that limitation. He doesn't have that fundamental Christianity. He was brought up in a more New Age family. So it's interesting, the messages coming through David, for example, here's a quote from one of Wilcock's channelings. "Because of the damage we sustained in our religion, namely Christianity, we often come to you without ever speaking in these exact terms." But what are they saying there? We sustained in our religion, you know? They're connecting themselves with Christianity.
Does he give readings?
Huh?
Does he ever give readings anymore?
I don't know. He hasn't for a long time. But he might be. I noticed something on his website where... I think he might be opening up to that.
So he's Edgar Cayce in the flesh.
And here's another.
I love it. Great.
Here's another one. Here's another one that came through David. This came through an interview where I actually interviewed Ra through David. And listen to it carefully, because you know what? You can't believe this stuff blindly. It's like making a case here. "We do want you to be hopeful and joyous about this change, to recognize that all of the surreal and violent experiences that are being brought forth on the physical plane are then the fulfillment of prophecies that we have diligently imparted to your spiritual teachers for many thousands of your years as you measure time. You can seek out these prophecies in their various forms, such as the Hindu Vedas or the Christian mythologies, etc., and you can find validation. You can find the exact conditions that you now see in the world around you have been described by these sages of old for many, many, many of your years. And thus you can see this is not a time to fear, but rather a time to be enthusiastic. I mean, we have diligently imparted to your spiritual teachers. If this is correct, we have the source of the inspiration and the wisdom that has come down through recorded history that we know it through all our spiritual teachers. Now, we don't know that's correct.
Here's my thinking.
We don't know that's correct.
Hold on. I love the book, Wynn.
Yeah.
I've read a million of them.
Yeah.
Million. And, I mean, I love it, but, and it's great, hey, Cayce's back, do good things, buddy, do it, I mean it,
mm-hmm.
You're back, figure it out quickly, do what you came here to do, and it's cool that you're here, what else should I say?
There's
a lot of great teachers coming back, there's a lot of great stories and a lot of great this. I mean, I love that, but I want to talk about something different.
I know, you hate me talking about this.
No, it's that if you'd like to have a show that we talk about Cayce and we talk about David, right, David, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I want to do that all the time.
Well, I haven't talked about it, actually, for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy.
He seems like
a likable guy.
Yeah, but you're missing the point.
No, and your book's a great book. I think it, and I'm
but you're still
so
missing,
happy that you're getting these accolades.
You're still missing.
And I think it should be made into a movie.
But you're still missing the point.
But.
You're missing the point.
I always do, don't I?
Nope. Well. I don't know. Your mother's going to be mad at one of us at the end of the show. We'll see who it is. You're, missing the point.
Right.
You're missing the point because it has nothing to do with Casey being back and glorifying David, glorifying me.
I know what you're talking about. I believe, I do.
And yes, there's many, 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 many books out there that have huge amounts of wisdom. And
yours is special. I understand.
No, mine is not.
It's a special story.
Mine's special.
Everything about it's special. I understand.
First of all,
I get it. I love you, man. I completely get it.
If this has a credible case, wait a second.
It is a blueprint, baby.
No, I don't want
it actually
a blueprint.
If this is
the source that has been overseeing mankind through all our spiritual teachers, if that's actually true, then this book has the ability to make, how can I say it? It's like to make a case. In other words, I've read lots of wisdom that
makes a great case.
Really impacted.
It really does.
And,
great case.
And the first step in making a case
is to read your book.
Having somebody's mind consider maybe this is the way it is.
Right.
Because it's how do you take a story out of science, what seems to be science fiction, how do you take that story and say, maybe this is the way it is? You need a case behind it. You need a track. Otherwise, it's just relegated to science fiction. And that's a challenge on this level, man. It's a challenge to get anything the least bit believable like that on this level that might be true, that's so far out of the realm of science fiction and into the realm of contemplation, where somebody can begin to think, maybe this is so. But look, we can talk about something else. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I don't know. Let's talk about something interesting. Like, I don't know, your book?
Well, I've been talking about it. When you're talking about your book.
Matrixes. We all get into our own matrix, don't we, Wynn?
Well.
It's funny. Some are big, some are huge. Some are somewhere in between. How's your sister doing?
She's fine.
Is she? Good. Well, we say hi to her if she's listening.
I doubt it. She doesn't have high-speed internet, so
no?
She can't listen unless I bring her on the line.
Right. So you came here with a topic today.
Well, I just started off. We got to talk about something. So it's one of the things I'm passionate about. I mean, it's something that has a shot at changing a lot of people on the planet, opening them up to something. You know what there is, as I see it.
Yeah.
You know, there's people.
No, I get it. I do, because I see BBS Radio the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, BBS Radio. I'd love to talk about all the shows and the lineups on our show, and I'd love to get into some of their shows and then maybe some of their guests, and you know, it'd be great. It's passionate. I'm really passionate about BBS Radio because I think it's going to change people all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I just don't. You know, I like talking about other things.
Well, you know what? If you're going to talk about BBS Radio, then you should talk about it when you're not on BBS Radio so that you get other people to tune into it, okay? I mean, like, for example, it's like if you're going to change things, then you have to have an outward reach somehow. People have to, like, be exposed to it. So it doesn't do much good to talk about how great BBS Radio is.
So what are you doing at this moment?
I'm talking to you, to the people who are listening to BBS Radio.
Hey, have you ever...
Just like I could call David Wilcock and say, David, look how great our book is. It would serve no purpose, you know? It's like you have to talk about something to somebody that never heard it before, or that's new. Like, go give a lecture and say, here's what we're doing on BBS Radio.
Yeah, but see, you're used to that. You travel around constantly doing book signings and autograph, and you talk, and you do these, and you get so used to it that every show ends up being a beginning to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many times. Now, I can't say always. Those definitives I shouldn't use. But often, I feel myself taking a ride on the Don and Wynn show.
But you know what?
Through familiar territory.
You can start a topic, and I'll go along with you. I mean, usually there's a pause at the beginning, and I don't know what to do, so I talk about what I think is important.
I hear about you, I talk about my... And then you
if you recall the beginning of the show, Don, what do you want to talk about today?
I don't know.
And you said, I don't know. So that's like saying, well, what are we going to talk about? We could sit around for like 15 minutes and say, what are we going to talk about? Right? And then people are going to be listening to us and saying, what are those guys doing? How come they don't know what they're going to be talking about? So...
Yeah.
Do you follow?
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about?
So, anyways, folks, this is the Don and Wynn Show.
This is the Don and Wynn Show.
If you're not used to it by now, you never will be.
Don and I are in our cantankerous... are we combative a little bit tonight?
Sometimes even ornery.
Ornery?
Ornery.
It's all right. You can be ornery.
Yeah, you know, one thing about our audience is they never get the same twice.
They never get the same twice? You mean
no.
On the Don and Wynn Show?
Not always the same thing twice. It's usually just a little bit different. Yeah. I guess it's all in the little differences, isn't it?
It's all in the viva la difference.
So, did you get a haircut?
Yep.
You did?
Mm.
How do you like it?
Hmm?
You like it?
Say that again?
Do you like your own haircut?
That's fine, thank you. Folks, we've just reverted from talking about the present entry of the Christed energy to whether I got a haircut.
I'm just trying to figure out what you look like by now. We haven't seen each other in a while.
Oh, I still got a big nose. I haven't had a nose job yet.
So are you still traveling, doing tours?
Not right now. I'm staying
no.
One place. You know, I do those things with the... that guy that does those holistic expos.
Right. So you hooked up with him, you're doing them with him now?
Well, whenever he's doing something.
Oh, that's cool.
He puts me on as a lecturer, or he puts me in one of his slots. And
so what's been going on? Have you been personally noticing any changes? Person. You know, I mean, we talk about all this external stuff.
I've been personally noticing any changes.
Yeah.
I'm in a constant state of change.
Yeah, but I mean any remarkable changes recently? No?
Well, I noticed in the news I'm sorry that we're having all this problem in the Middle East right now. And it takes some prayer hope to keep it contained.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of people desiring something different.
Mm-hmm. So, have you read a good book lately, aside from mine? Why don't you share something about a good book that you've read?
Well, I read Carolyn Ever's book.
Carolyn, what's it called?
It was about... Caesar Fabulous book.
Caesar.
Yeah, I think Julius Gallius Caesar, is it called?
And what was the book about?
Well, about the, you know, some of the personal things around the, you know, Julius and the Caesar lineage. And then I started reading in, which was a good book. I mean, I think everybody should get it because it's just fabulous, really engaging.
Well,
then I'm reading Osho's book, The Mustard Seed.
Oh, wait a second. Did she channel the book?
Yeah.
She did?
Yeah.
So she can go look back on the life of Caesar from a channeled perspective.
Yeah, she looked back on it from a researched and channeled perspective, from what I understand, and they matched up.
Mm-hmm.
But it first was channeled, and she did the research, and it matched up to what she was saying, and she was quite comfortable publishing it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Who does she channel?
I guess some of the people that were here as forerunners to the Christ, the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it a group or an entity?
Maybe one, maybe both.
She doesn't identify it, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, there's a family. You know, under Julius Caesar and Julia and Flavius, and of course, you know, and then the lineage goes on down, and the different, you know, she talks about some of the different people during that period and some of their personal thoughts after they passed over and what they thought about it, and having to go through the trials of their rerun through their lifetime and, you know, and what it's like to be in there. And another book was The Mustard Seed by Osho. That's a good one.
Osho. Is that the guy that had that spiritual group in Oregon?
Osho?
Rajneesh?
Basically, yeah.
Is that Rajneesh, Osho?
Yeah, Rajneesh.
Right?
I believe so.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
He is the guy that had, he had one of the most funniest things I ever heard years ago, where he talked about all the different meanings for the word, I'm not going to say it. Probably you can. F-U-C-K. Did you ever hear that?
No.
No. It's like, you know, he did this litany of sentences where it was used 60 different ways or something. And if you think about it, it has so many different usages. And he just had an audience. Somebody recorded it. And he had an audience just falling in the aisles.
You're right.
One day I'll look it up on the net. Somebody must have transcribed that. And I'll email it to you.
All right. That sounds good.
So, but I like Rajneesh. I've read Rajneesh.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing is about these books. I mean, I just finished a few prior to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about, you know, I read as they come because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives me a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Allows me to look into somebody else's matrix.
Yes. You know, did you read Yogananda?
I haven't yet, no.
Never read Yogananda?
No, I haven't.
That was
read a lot of excerpts, but not any of his books.
That was one of my first inspiring books, which I read in the same period of time that I read Edgar Casey.
We got to close.
We do?
I'd love to stay open, but if we don't close, we'll remain open.
Who's on next?
Dr. Bell.
He is? Oh, well, let's keep going then. What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say that one comment because there's a guy that supposedly is Yogananda reincarnated.
Yeah, many of the masters are back.
Yeah.
Many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see them in many different ways, different forms. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes peeled. Anyways.
So, should we call in light?
Let's do it.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don, myself, all our listeners, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We just see this energy moving through our bodies, grounding.
send this light energy to those, to our families, the place where we live, our homes, our communities, to those areas of the earth that need balancing, that are out of balance, and to Don's mother and father who are listening. And with that note, we've come to another end of the Don and Wynn Show, and we'll see you next week.
And we thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Wynn, and we'll be up next with Dr. Fred Bell. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.